would like to welcome you to our show today at Take Time for Jesus. After today's message, we will have information on how you can contact the show or access past shows here at Take Time for Jesus. And now with today's message, here's Brother Earl and Sister Sarah.
Father, as we thank you for this day, letting us share it with you and giving praise unto the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Father, we give you praise in that wonderful name of Jesus. To those that have wrote to us, we appreciate the emails that we've got. And for those that need prayer, we appreciate the opportunity to pray for you, for your needs, that God would bless and undertake in your situations and heal your sickness and bring forth deliverance to those that are lost. We just thank God to know that He is still on the throne and He hears our prayers and answers in His time and in His way. He may say wait, He may say no, but He might work immediately upon your request. So don't lose patience with God. Wait upon Him, and He shall renew your strength. We shall mount up on wings as eagles, and we shall run and not weary, and walk and not faint. Just trust in the Lord, my friends, and God will see us through all situations as we endeavor to bring forth the message that God's laid on our hearts for you today. In Psalms 91, we just pray that you would read your word, the Bible, the Word of God, and believe and trust in it. Don't take somebody's word for it, that it's there. Read it for yourself, as I've often said. That way you'll know that it's firsthand, and there you'll know and you can trust in it and believe in it. Man can be wrong, but at the same time thinking he's right. We often suffer things but we just fail to give God praise for the little things, and we're looking for big things. But God bless you as we endeavor to bring forth this, what God's laid on our heart. May God bless you and touch your ears to hear and a heart to receive. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. My wife's got something or other here that we want you to listen to, and we'll go from there however God leads. And we just pray that God will touch those, have, like I said, that has wrote to us. The sister in Spain wrote about her son having an accident, an automobile. We hope things are well with them now, as God would see fit. And we just pray that God will bless each and every one of you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Here's my wife.
Well, praise the Lord. I thank Jesus again for this opportunity to share with you what the Lord has laid on my heart. And in Psalms 91, is under His wings. When I think of protection, I don't automatically think of a bird's feathers. Though a bird's feathers might seem like a flimsy form of protection, there is more to them than meets the eye. Bird feathers are an amazing example of God's design. Feathers have a smooth part and a fluffy part. The smooth part of the feather has stiff barbs with tiny hooks that lock together like the prongs of a zipper. The fluffy part keeps the bird warm. Together, both parts of the feather protect the bird from wind and rain, but many baby birds are covered in a fluffy down, and their feathers haven't fully developed, so a mother bird has to cover them in a nest with her own feathers to protect them from wind and rain. The image of God covering us with His feathers in Psalm 91 and 4, and in other passages such as Psalm 17 and 8, where He said, "Keep me as the apple of the eye, hide me under the shadow of thy wings." It's one of comfort and protection. The image comes to mind as a mother bird covering her little ones with her feathers. And as a farm girl, I think back when we used to go in the hen house to gather the eggs, and if there was a hen there that had chickens, she'd open up her wings and the little ones would go under her wings. She didn't have to call them or anything. She just opened her wings and they would go under it. Then when we'd leave and start towards the door, she'd kind of loose her feathers a little bit, but we walked out the door, she'd open them up and the little ones would just walk all over the place. But like a parent whose arms are a safety place to retreat from a scary storm or hurt, loving presence provides safety and protection from life's emotional storms. When unexpected troubles come, we sometimes question the goodness of God. We may even feel the despair that Martha and Mary experienced when their brother died. Or if Jesus had only come when we first found out that Lazarus was sick, and you can read that in John 11 and 21 and 32. Like Martha and Mary, we don't always understand why hard things happen to us, but we can rest in the knowledge that God is working out his purposes for a greater good. In every circumstance, we can trust the wisdom of our faith and a loving God. Though we go through trouble and heartaches, we can face them without fear as long as our faces are turned toward God. He is our refuge. In Psalm 91, verse 2, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. In verse 4, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and a buckler. And verse 9, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. When fear causes hope to fade, flee to God, the refuge you can reach on your knees. And I just praise God for being there when I need him. He's my refuge. He's my strength. He's my comforter. He's everything that anyone could ever need or hope for. And the only way that you can get this assurance is to repent and invite Jesus into your heart. And I don't go for repeating the sinner's prayer. I go for getting down on your knees or calling out to God in full repentance, being sorry for what you've done, not repeating after what somebody else said. I've seen people do it, and they felt good at the time, but they went out and did the same old sinful things they were doing before. So the only way that you can have full salvation is repent and believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. Here's Brother Earl.
Yes, amen. You can't walk in sin and serve God at the same time, because he hates sin. That's why he came into this world and died on Calvary, to forgive us of our sin. So just repeating something other that some man says, repeat after me, and this or that or one thing or another, and then you say those things and then continue to walk in the same old darkness as you walked in before, hasn't made no difference, my friend. When you repent, you change. You do a different lifestyle. You do differently from what you was, and God will help you. But many people today are wondering why that God allows so much bad to happen to so many good people. My friend, the thing of it is you've got to understand that Israel was a nation that God chose out of all of the despair, and he brought them forth. And in Egypt there, they was there for approximately 400 years, and they was put in slavery. But he'd taken by the hand of Moses, he led them out. And therefore, he brought them into the place. He said that he would bring them into a land that flowed with milk and honey if they would be obedient to his will and his way and keep his commandments. And we know that how that they come forth and they mumbled and they grumbled about everything and anything and had nothing to grumble by. God made a way for them to escape, but yet they got out there, and difficulties comes in one's life. And when you turn around from what God has said that he would do, and you run into a little snag, so the old saying goes, and or some kind of trial, you think, all right, that God's done let you go. No, my friend, that's not true. God is going to allow things to happen in our lives that would bring us to the place to where we need to pray and trust in him. That's what he wants us to do. And the psalmist there, when he was penning, writing there, the Psalms 91, he understood this. David had many troubles that there. He was a shepherd out into the field, and he was watching over the flock, and the bears and the things attacked at his flock. He went and defended them. He brought them forth. It was a type of Christ. When the enemy attacks you, if you will just believe and trust in him and what he has told you, that he would cover you with his feathers. In other words, under his arm of protection, he will bring you through it if you'll trust in him. It may be a difficult time of sickness or some other tragedy of some kind or another. Your friends may turn against you, but if a friend turns against you, I'm persuaded to believe he wasn't much of a friend to start with. A lot of people will say that your friend and get around behind your back and do you wrong. But my friend, a friend, it indeed is a friend that's going to be there in a time of trouble. And God has promised us there that he would be with us in the time of trouble. So I consider him to be my ultimate friend. He is a friend in time of need, and he's a friend in the time when things goes well. And I thank my God today to know that I've had trials. Don't get me wrong, my friend. My road into this plan of salvation hadn't been all honey and the rock, you might say. It's been some times it's been rough. But my God has seen me through it. I have no grumble towards him, because if I come short and my love towards him grows to be difficulty and cold, you might say, he's going to chastise us. The problem with the world today, with our children in the days that we live in, the reason why come we have so many juvenile delinquencies, as they call them, is because the government stepped in and said, you can't chastise your children no more and everything. We're going to take charge of them. So they let this man that had two young ones that was as crazy as I don't know what, mean as snakes, because he didn't chastise them. They go by that. God made it possible that we could chastise our children. And he said that there, that when we begin to neglect to chastise our children, he says, if you spare the rod, most people come up and said you spoil the child. No, the Bible says if you spare the rod, you hate your child. So now who are you going to believe, Catholicism or either the Word of God? I'm going to take the Word of God. When I was coming up, I had a lot of chastisement, but I deserved every bit of it and probably more too. But nevertheless, God loves us enough that he will take us under all circumstances. There's only one thing that the Bible teaches me that God won't forgive you of, and that's the blaspheming against the Holy Ghost, any word or whatever. But now, anything else, he'll forgive you. But my friend, there's a lot of people walking in sin today in the darkness of their own corruption and trying to hide behind the preacher's coattail, you might say. They'll go to church and go out and do whatever they please and thinking that they're all right. Now, that's not right, my friend. We've got to repent. As Nicodemus was a religious man, and he was one of the officers in the synagogue, but yet and still, when he came to Jesus to ask him what he may have to do to inherit eternal life, and Jesus told him, he said, you must be born again. Well, Nicodemus saying, he was an elderly man, and he said, how can a man when he's old, can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born again? My friend, that is carnal thinking, and it's not right. I mean, you can't do that. It's impossible. But with God, he said, repent. And he says, when he told him, Mary, he said, to repent and believe on the Lord, ask him to forgive you. And he said, except a man repent, he can't even see the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God was standing right there before him, but he was kindly in a daze there, wondering why this and why that. My friend, the kingdom of God rests in Jesus Christ. And we can rest in him, and we can be brought into the kingdom of God through the sacrifice that Jesus made there. being born into the church of which was purchased by his blood, not some denomination somewhere or another that men got together and made bylaws and guidelines for the congregation to go by, but it's some of the stuff don't even match up with the Bible. So I'm persuaded to believe if we'll go by what the Bible says and be born again, as he told Nicodemus, repenting of our sins, being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and receiving of him of his Spirit, and by these things, when we are baptized and been submerged under the water, represents death, burial, and resurrection. You die out to the sins of the world, and he puts you under the water. When you're raised up to walk in the newness of life. You've been baptized in the water, now you be filled with the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, that will lead and guide you into all truth. My friend, there's a lot of people today that they say this and they say that, but their fruits of the tree doesn't bear record of being a good tree. So when we look at the situation when Jesus told them, was telling them not to judge one another, but he did say that if we look at the fruits of the tree, and if the fruits are good, then the tree's evidently going to be good. But if we look at the fruits and they are wrong and they don't match up and they're bad, then the tree evidently is bad according to the Word of God. My friend, it's time that we begin to realize that in order to abide under the shadow of the Almighty and let him cover us with his feathers, and we be bound by his wings, in other words, of his protection, we're going to have to do what he says do. Not any old slipshod way we think it ought to be, but the way the scripture says. Israel was out there and he told him, he said, if you will obey my laws and my commandments and do, in other words, do what I ask you to do and everything, then I will bring you to the land that flows with milk and honey. Well, through the journey there, God showed his arm of protection when he kept the fire and the pillar of cloud that shattered him in the day and everything, and the pillar of fire that kept the Egyptian army from him by night. But it also showed the light to them that if it was necessary to travel by night, they could. But my friend, they forgot about all these things here that God had blessed them with. And everything, and they went to grumbling and murmuring about this and about that. If there was no water they wanted or no food or whatever, God met their needs miraculously. There was no 7-Eleven stores around the corner. There was no taxis there. And there was not any of the modern things that people have today, but they want to blame God for every little thing that goes wrong. And that's about as wrong as you can get. Blame yourself. That's where it all starts at, is an old self. When old self begins to magnify itself, and it's better, it deserves better and everything like that, you need to check up on to see where you stand in the sight of God. Asking God to direct your path. Asking him to lead you in the ways of righteousness for his name's sake. And he'll bring you to the truth, my friend. You cannot serve two masters. You can't walk in the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ and say, I love God and God loves me, and then walk in the darkness at night and do the things that the devil tells you to do. It just ain't no middle road, my friend. It's either you're going to serve one and hate the other, or love one and despise the other. You cannot serve the devil and God at the same time. It just don't work that way. When you repent and turn about from your wicked ways, then God will see that you're through your things. It's not, he didn't say he would keep you from all your trials. Because if you look back at in the scriptures there about Job, Job was there a man of integrity. He kept God's commandments, as far as I can tell, for the simple fact that when the devil came up with the sons of God in a meeting they had there, the devil come up also. And the Lord asked him, he said, whence cometh thou? And he said, walking to and fro in the earth. He said, have you considered my servant Job? Is not he perfect and upright in every way? Well, he recognized the fact that he brought Job up to the devil and said, and declared him to be perfect and upright.
But the devil said, yes, but you put a hedge about him and I can't get to him. You take the hedge down and I'll make him curse you to your face. Well, God allowed the devil to get to Job. He took all of his family. He took his wealth and he had him there destitute, you might say. But there's one thing, he left his wife with him. But you know that the situation there, it come and got worse, and three of his friends was going to come and comfort him. My friend, beware of them friends of yours in wolf clothing, because they don't always do what they say they will. They don't come to do well with you. They come to accuse you and point the finger at you like they did Job and everything. But the windup of it, my friend, when the devil said, come again with them, and he said, skin for skin, and he'll curse you to your face. God said, you can do anything, but you cannot take his life. You see, the enemy cannot take your life. He may be allowed to test you, try you in many ways, but he cannot take your life. That's the thing that God did not give him permission to do, and he cannot do it. So, my friend, whatever you may go through, remember this one thing. If your life is hid in Christ, if you're under the shadow of the Almighty, and he's covered you with his feathers, you're okay. Even in death, he said he would go with you through all this, even to the end of the world. So you don't be concerned about what will happen after death, because if you're secured under the shadow of the Almighty, you're going to come to the place to wherein that he said we would inherit eternal life. So, my friends, don't be concerned about the man taking your life or they doing this. Bible teaches that to fear God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. So be concerned about where you're going to spend eternity and repent from our sinful ways. And he said, I'll bring you to the land of milk and honey. Well, if you obey him and do what he says do, and by reading his word and live a Christian life as he asks you to do, and not by what you might come and thinking it's okay, find out from the scripture by reading the Bible, whether this or that or that or this. Find out what God has to say about it. He said, if we'll trust him, he will see us through. And he goes about it. Don't be afraid of the arrows that fly by day or at night. And don't be afraid of these things. You can lie down at night resting assured that if you're hid in Christ, under the shadow of the Almighty, covered with his feathers, that you're going to rest peacefully. And should it be that you pass into this eternity under the shadow of the Almighty, you're still secured, my friend, no matter what the devil may tell you, no matter what this man or that woman may say, but be a reliance upon the Spirit of God to believe what he has to say by reading the word. And that's the only way you can trust in it. A lot of people put their faith and their trust in the man behind the pulpit. And oftentimes we find out that they're doing things that are not pleasing to God, and they get into trouble. It's been a proven fact. It's been around Tampa down here in Florida and other places that we're in, that they found out that we was going with some of the women in the church and claiming they're getting up around in the pulpit, some of them stealing from the people in the church and doing all manners of sin and everything. But God will, your sins will find you out. Sooner or later, all this stuff is going to catch up with you, and it's going to find out about it. And then where are you going to be? You're going to be the one that is in jeopardy, the one that's going to face up the reality of your sins. But if you're biding under the shadow of the Almighty, and he's got you covered with his feathers, and you believe and have faith in God, and you'll walk according to the way he would lead you, you don't have to worry about those things, because he's not going to lead you into that. But he will not let you be tempted above that you're able to bear. He's already made a way of an escape. So, my friends, what are we going to do? Are we going to believe what the scripture says? Are we going to believe some of these here self-proclaimed prophets or prophetess as like that has come down the road claiming that they're Jesus Christ and they're this and they're that, but they're wolves in sheep's clothing? All they're wanting is your divine attention to where they can get all they can get out of you. And when the time comes, if they can slip away from you, take all of your wealth and slip away from you and leave you nothing, they'll do it. But oftentimes God lets his catching up catch up. And he brings them out and he disposes of them before man and there and let them be seen for what they really are. There's a lot of preachers today that's in the business, my friend, for money. Well, that's going to be between them and God. I don't ask you for your money because I've got no thing that I could give you a number that you can put on your income tax and get percentage back onto that. I do it because I love you and I love to minister God's word of truth. I love the people that I get the opportunity to minister to. And most of all, I love my God because he first loved me. It's a thing that it's about it there. When he sent the apostles out, he didn't tell them to take a wad of money or even a suitcase, not even to a changing of clothes, not even to another spare robe, but he told them to go out and the workman was worthy of his hire. But God has supplied my needs even from my youth on up until this very same day. It ain't a lot of times I got to where I thought I wanted something other, but the need was the most important thing. He didn't say he would supply our wants. He didn't say he would make us a multimillionaire, but he said he would supply our needs. And if we have need, and he said if you have even bread and water to eat, to be therefore contented. Well, I have a little better than that, but my God is, he's given me a content in my heart to know that through him, all things are possible to me. The thing of it is that I want to make it into the kingdom. I preached on the broadcast one day here 1 year back, and I said, the Bible says in the that in the Word of God, he said, if the righteous scarcely make it in, where will the sinner and the ungodly appear? And I said, so if the old story that they say, St. Peter's there at the gate, the opening and closing, letting us in and closing it behind us. If I can step inside the gate and the gate closes behind me and knocks me down on my face on Glory Avenue, I'll be satisfied because I'm in. This little preacher got up, bless God, I don't want to be come that close to missing out. I want to land right in the middle of all of it. Well, he didn't believe what the scripture said. The Bible says it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom. The eye of a needle was a small opening in the wall of Jerusalem or whatever the city. And you couldn't get a camel through it, not with his load on him. Well, a rich man don't want to get rid of his wealth. The camel, you can get him on his knees and unload him, push and pull, and you might squeeze him through that eye. It's a small opening where one man at a time can get through. But my friend, it's come to the time to where the rubber hits the road, and we need to repent. We need to rely upon the sovereignty of God and him only, because times are waxing worse. And what he said that they would in the last days, that it would wax worse, and it's getting worse. We have the situation, he said, that in the last days there'd be routing all over the place, there'd be wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes, and all these things are happening. Are you hid under the shadow of the Almighty? As he covered you with his wings, have you repented from your sins and a rest assurance that God is with you and you're under his divine protection, or have you just floating around out there somewhere in limbo? I hope not. I hope you have sincerely repented of your sins and abiding in the Word of God and being led by his Spirit into these things, because times are waxing worse. And the only one that's going to make it into the kingdom of God, them that are abiding in the scriptures, they're abiding in the Word of God, and they're trusting in the sovereignty of God through the sacrifice he made there, the just for the unjust there at Calvary's cross, there by giving his life and shedding his blood for yours and my sins. My friend, you can't make it no other way. Ain't no preacher, ain't no apostle, ain't no man, I don't care where he comes from, no pope or nobody else can forgive you of your sin. It comes from God himself, Jesus Christ. as he was said, told Mary there she would bring forth a son, and he shall save his people from their sin, and his name shall be called Jesus. My friend, the man has got no authority to forgive you of your sins. Only God can do that. And he comes up and tells you that he's a liar and the truth ain't in him. He's a descendant of the devil and one of his children, and he's fulfilling what his father tells him to do, and he'll lead you in the road of destruction if you follow him. So follow Christ Jesus. Follow him with your whole heart, soul, mind, and body. Repent of your sins. Be godly sorry. Turn away from the things that you once did and try to and walk in the light of the gospel, being led by the Spirit of God. You can do it, but you got to rely upon Jesus Christ. You can't do nothing without him. I don't care where it's, whether you're born again or not. You still don't even breathe without him giving you the breath to breathe, still warm from his nostrils. So why do you trust in the arm of flesh? Why do you look to this and look to that when you can look at Jesus Christ? And he is the one that can forgive you of your sin. He's the one that can bring you and give you eternal life. Not man. Not any. The government can't help you. The government is just about as crooked as any sinner can be. Most of them be led by the devil themselves, and they think they're doing a service to the people when they're all serving their own need or their own greed. My friend, it's come time that we need to get down to business. Time is running short. The love of God that many people is waxed cold. Revelations in the first church age said, because you've left your first love. Honey, there's only one place that we're in the Bible speaks about that they abode in Acts there, where they abode in the apostle doctrine. And there's many doctrines in the world. Some of it ain't worth even reading about. But there's only one way that Jesus told the apostles. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And that's what they preached. That's what they taught back in their days and they were all killed for it. So, my friend, you may, if you serve God to the very end, you either one may have to forfeit our life for a testimony. I don't know. It just a possibility that it would. Many have already, and they're still doing it today. That bunch of people over there that claims that they're so righteous is cutting the heads off of Christian people, and they're going to one day stand before God, and they're going to be judged by their deeds, and he's going to throw them in hell with the devil and all of his enemies there, and they're going to suffer punishment for eternity. There's only one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. We're baptized into one body. God's only got one church, and that was the one he purchased with his own blood. Now, many denominations have claimed that they're the only church you can belong to. That's a lie out of hell itself, because the only church you can belong to and be assured that you belong to it is being born again of the water and the Spirit. You don't go join it and put your name on it and you're okay. You have to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Turn from your wicked, sinful ways. Bide under the shadow of the Almighty. Be led by the Spirit of God, and he will alter your steps and bring you into the place. The road of destruction is broad and wide, and many travel on it because of the false teaching that's went around for years, even in the days of the Lord, walking on man, as man on the face of the earth. Now, the apostles was killed by some of them religious fanatics and everything because they didn't want to accept the truth. They wanted to, all they wanted to do was to look pious and wear their long robes and make sure that they was recognized to be what they thought they were. But Jesus told them there one time that a bunch of scribes and Pharisees there, and he said, there they was all dressed up in their robes of so and so and such and such and such. He said, you can whitewash the sepulchre, but inside there's dead men bones. They knew what he was talking about, and they didn't appreciate it. That's why they hollered crucify him, because he was letting them know with all of their religious garment on and everything on the outside, but inside their hearts was dead man's bone. That robe that they had just wrapped up the old dead man. But the outward appearance was one thing, but what's in your heart, my friend, is something else. And I don't mean in that muscle in your chest that pumps your blood from one part of the body to the other. I mean in the very fact of where your brain is, that's where it controls your whole system. God needs to dwell in it, and if he controls it, he'll control the rest of it, because that's where it all starts at, in your brain, in your mind. He said, being renewed by the renewingness of your mind, my friend. That muscle in your chest they call the heart, it does one purpose, but it has to be operated because the mind tells it to pump, and it flows the blood from one part of your body to the other, just like the oil in an automobile motor. That pump pumps the oil to lubricate all of the parts that move it about, to keep it running functionally to right. And that's what that heart in your body does with your blood. The mind of be stayed upon God. It can be renewed by, you can have the salvation by the renewing of your mind. My friend, if your heart was where it all dwelt, and many people have had heart transplant, some of them said that they got a bad heart and they went wrong. Some of them said they got a good heart and they done good. That has nothing to do with the plan of salvation, my friend. No. Medical science has got to the place to wherein God allowed them to do that they can do this from time to time. Like the doctors, that some of them will help you and some of them will do you more harm than what you already got, because that all they're looking for is the money. They don't care about you otherwise. But if you find a doctor that is right, just like a preacher that will tell you the truth, stick with him, my friend. But when they come up telling you something that ain't right, then flee from them. It's like you need to flee from a lion or something that's in danger. Don't go stick your hand in the fire to see if it's hot. Common sense will tell you not to do it. But if you won't listen to that, well, go ahead and stick your hand in there. You'll find out that it hurts. It's like people just do things that, you know, I don't believe this, I don't believe that. But first and last, they'll come up to be a believer because they try it and it happens and they get hurt or something other like that. But sometimes it's too late because it disfigures them in such a manner of way that they're there for the rest of their lives, or either takes their life because of stupidity. Believe the word of God, my friend. Don't believe everything that comes down the road with a Bible tucked under his arm and said, I am a preacher. Because there's been many false prophets has done that. Even if you read in the Bible where they come forth. One of them come there and the enemy got wanted to go out there and curse the Israelites and everything, and where they would lose the battle. But God on a donkey. And the donkey seen the angel of God standing there before him, and he backed around and wouldn't go around, and hurt old hammered foot there, and he cursed them and everything, but when he found out that the donkey talked to him, it was a different story. My friend, God is not going to let you do something other that's going to be detrimental to your soul if you listen to it. That's why you need to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You need to be covered with his wings. You need to be led by his Spirit, which is the Holy Ghost, and be walking in the light of the gospel, not walking in the shadow, but in the light. You cannot walk in darkness and serve God in the light of the gospel. You can't do it. It's impossible. I can't. You can't. Nobody else can. It's either you serve God or you're not going to serve him. There ain't but two gods. The God of this world is the devil. Adam turned it over to him when he disobeyed God with one commandment, by eating the tree of forbidden fruit. Well, we look at it in this way. The God of this world is the devil. When he was tempting Jesus in the wilderness there for them 40 days and nights, he come up to him there, the last temptation, he said, he brought him up into the high mountains there, and he showed him all of the kingdoms of the world. And he said, all this will I give to you if you'll bow down and worship me. Jesus didn't tell him it wasn't his to give. He just said, it is written, thou shalt not have no other gods before me. And the devil left him. My friend, the devil is in charge of this world. He's rambling around seeking that he can devour. And he'll devour you if you listen to him. And these false teachings like that comes down the road and everything. Many of them are after one thing, and that's your money. They've got all this here fair speech and smooth tongue as the Bible speaks about. But the Bible also says, by the foolishness of preaching, men are saved. Not that highly educated when they spent $3,000 or $4,000 to go let another man teach him how. Paul was an educated man. He knew the law, but he was against the principles of God's teaching that under grace. He knew nothing about that in the love of God. He wanted people to keep the law, and them that prayed and sought after Jesus and everything, the truth of God's matter, he went about to persecute him and did for some time. Had papers, authority, in other words, to go into Damascus, and anybody he found calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he could bind them and put them in jail or whatever he decided to do. But on the road to Damascus, he met that great light, the light above the noonday sun, and he fell to the ground. And he said, Lord, who art thou? And he said, I am Jesus of whom thou persecuted. It's hard to kick against the prick. And he asked him, he said, what would you have me to do? And he told him to go into Damascus, and there he'd be told. He went blinded, but Ananias prayed, and the scales fell from his eyes. And he went out into Arabia, a desert place. And therefore he was before God, and the Lord taught him by the Spirit about the saving grace of God. And he came forth, and the people that was his friends before, they persecuted him and sought to kill him. My friend, be prepared. When you start serving God, some of them so-called friends you had are going to turn against you. I've had them to do me the same way. But I want you to know that being faithful to God, he will bring you forth with new friends, brothers and sisters in the Lord, that will help you to pray and stand by you in a time of need. And therefore, them's your true friends, them so-called out there in the world, if you go out and drink and do around whatever they doing, and you do that, they're your friends. As long as you got a dollar in your pocket and you spend half of it on them, they're your friends. But when it comes to be something else, they'll discard you and throw you away like an old wet rag or something or other. It ain't worth nothing to them. You won't do what they want you to do. They don't want to be around you. They're not your friends no more. But Jesus is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He said he would be in us. He would be guide and direct us and walk with us and be with us even to the end of the world. Your brother can't do that. He can go to the graveside. That's as far as he can go. He may follow you later in some way or manner of death, but he's not going to follow you into the kingdom unless he's been born again. I don't care who he is, mother, father, whomever he might be. You got to be born again in order to inherit eternal life in Christ Jesus. Being in the kingdom of God is the only way we can get there, through the door. Jesus said, I am the door. I am the truth. I am the way. I am the light. How else do you think you can get there? A thief comes by slipping in some other way in the darkness of night. Right. Jesus came in the broad open daylight and was crucified there, hung on the cross there for your justification to God through the giving of his life and the shedding of his blood, whereby would bring you into righteousness. That's the only way it can be, my friend. I can't save you. Jesus can. He's the one that died for you. He's the one that I look to for salvation, not to some other man that, somewhere or another that says he can, because he's a liar. I found that out by reading the Word of God. There's only one way into the kingdom, and that's through the door. And when Jesus said, I am the door, the truth, and the life, that's satisfied to me that no other man can do this for you. The man Jesus, God in the flesh, came into this world to die for a sinner such as you and I. And I praise him for it. I thank him. I thank God to know that when you hear what the truth is, and you believe the truth by reading the Word of God, and you repent of your sins and let God come into your life, the Word that he will cover you with his feathers, and you can abide under the shadow of the Almighty, and you can accept his will and his way, and he will bring you. It's not to say that you won't have some ups and downs, but if you trust in the Lord, he's going to see you in the ups, and he'll see you in the downs, and he'll bring you through. My friend, I've seen it happen many times. My wife here some time back had her blood platelets went down, and they wasn't expecting her to live, but God seen her through it. Yeah. And then one doctor says, with the faith that you have in your God, he says, I wouldn't take them Vidaza shots, and she didn't. God seen her through. Now her platelets is up in a normal range. Oh, simply because God is the God of her life.
Amen.
Not thank she you, relying Jesus. Upon him instead of whatever somebody else may say. My friend, he is worthy to be praised. He is worthy because he gave his life there on Calvary's cross over 2,000 years ago, that you could have life and we could have an eternal life only through Christ Jesus. If you want to serve him, you can abide under the shadow of the Almighty, and he will cover you with his feathers, and he'll protect you if you will let him. We have trials, we have temptations, but he said he'd make a way. He wouldn't let you be tempted above that you're able to bear. If you'll trust in him, he'd made a way of escape. Death can't hold you down. You may go by the way of death, but it's an old song, that ain't no grave gonna hold me down. When the trumpet sounds and the voice of the archangel comes forth, them that are dead in Christ is going to come forth first, from corruption to incorruption, and them that remain to be alive, and just like I am and you are, I hope today, you remain to be alive at that time of the sound of the last trumpet and the voice of the archangel, and you'll be changed from mortal to immortality. Means from this old fleshly life, you'll put on immortality, the same type of body that Jesus had when he come out of the tomb. The Bible says that we shall know him, for we shall see him like he is. We'll be like him, for we shall see him as he is. My friend, it's going to be. He went there and he told the apostles, do you have any meat? He had honeycomb and fish with him. There he was there for 40 days. After he died there. But then he ascended in, and for 10 days they waited in the upper room until the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, came back as he promised. And they were filled with the Spirit of God, and they went about magnifying him and giving him praise and glory. Some of these people says they got the Spirit, but I don't know what it is. So some of the fruits that they're bearing forth don't match up to the Word of God in some cases. My friend, the Holy Ghost will bear record. He will keep you, and he'll bring you through if you'll trust him. He will lead you in the way of righteousness. He ain't going to lead you off down when he comes up to the fork of the road. He's not going to carry you to the left side. He's going to carry you to the right side. If you'll be led by the Spirit, you just let man tell you, and he'll tell you anything. If he wants something out of it, he'll tell you, oh, you're doing fine. You're doing great. And you may be have one foot on a banana peeling and the other one in the grave, and he'll tell you you're doing fine. Got his hand out or putting it in your pocket looking for the money. Well, most people got insurance, and he hopes that he'll get part of it when you pass on. My friend, it's time we got it right. God is the only one that can save you from your sins. He's our only hope is in Christ Jesus. If a man has got hope for other things in this world, he's most miserable. But if our hope is in Christ Jesus, then we're going to have the blessings that God would have us to have. It's not that he didn't promise us a mansion. He didn't promise us everything in this world. But he said, if you have bread and water, be you therefore content. And how many of you have steak and one thing or another to eat? Some people suffer from this or that one thing or another, and I pray that God will meet their needs. But my friend, a lot of these organizations out there, we're going to do this and we're going to do that for all these people. You send me $1,000 and we're going to help these people over there and help these people. It's been a known fact that they've taken maybe $10 of $100 that you send them. They keep the $90 for themselves, and they may buy a bag of rice or bag of beans or whatever and give $10 to it. Well, they feel like they've served the pauper. But my friend, it's time that we begin to realize the Bible says that the last days they would make merchandise of your soul. Every day in the mail I get that people want me to send them money for this and send them money for that. And here a while back, they took the money that people was giving them for the disabled American veterans and everything. They taken it and splundered it around on big parties. Then they want you to send them more. My friend, it's time we got to realize that God will give us wisdom as to what to do. Don't give to everything that comes down to the road. And it's give me this and give me that, and I'll do this and I'll do that. The Bible teaches that God told the children of Israel, if you will do, then I will do. If you will keep my commandments and obey me and follow me, I will bring you into the land that flows with milk and honey. But they wanted, oh, God, you do this and do that, and I'll do so. It's been a prayer with many people. Lord, if you'll bless me with a Cadillac or a big automobile or a big fine, I'll serve you. It don't work that way, my friend. God has promised us eternal life through him, but through his death on the cross. He's promised us that he would help us, but we need to first help ourselves. We need to first repent, calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In order to be saved, we got to come the way that he said. You can't get there no other way. And if we repent and be obedient, doesn't mean you're going to have riches untold like some of these evangelists on the TV. Some of them I've read has got millions of dollars stacked away in the bank. Well, Revelation speaks about that the rich man will run and throw his money into the caves with the bats and cry out for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them and hide them from the face of him that sits on the throne. Honey, you can't buy your way into the kingdom of God. All you got to do is believe and accept the atoning price that Jesus paid for your sins as he did all others. But if you go to try to get in any other way, there's no window, there's no back door. He is the door. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Money can't buy you a way into the kingdom, as it will buy you some kind of a lot of money. Will get you in a political situation and be a senator or governor or mayor or something other than that. If you got a lot of money, you can buy your way in. But you ain't going to buy your way into the kingdom of God, no matter how much money you got. God owns it all to start with. Saying goes, he owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. And I say he owns a hill too, my friend, that the cow stands on. My friend, he has it all. He created it all for his own, for his benefit. Right. But he put man here and gave him charge over it, and he disobeyed. So he lost it. Now he's going to come back. And when he comes back, he's going to dissolve all this old presently sin and corruption that are in the world. And then John said he's seen a new Jerusalem coming down, 1,500 square miles up, down, any way you wanted to look at it, but the gates was never closed. He's going to be the light of that city, and we can go in and out. But we got to be born again in order to get into it. You can't buy it. Money and gold and silver, Jesus was betrayed for 30 pieces of silver, my friend. So that tells me something other right there. You can't trust in the money, material things, to get you into the kingdom of God. You got to go in the way he said. Repent, every one of you, as Peter said on the day of Pentecost, and some of these denominations are baptizing in titles, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and they said that's the way. Peter lied. He didn't have the right to change what Jesus said in Matthew 28:19. Jesus said, go and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. Now, what's his name? Jesus is his name. Father's a title and the Son is a title. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of the living God, which come back on that 10th day to the upper room to the children of the apostles there, 120. They spake as the Spirit gave them utterance, and the other people and nations around there didn't understand Galilean talk, but they heard them speaking in their own language the wonderful works of God, and they all repented. And 3,000 souls was added to the church, and as many that would believe was added to the church. Now the church had got to the place that they think they're so pious and they're so good and everything until we come to a falling away period. What's it going to win? My friend, I see our time is gone, and I just got so much to say. Oh, my friend, believe what the Word of God said. Abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Let Him cover you with His wings of His protection, and you'll be all right. Otherwise, you're going to miss out. May God richly bless you. Write to us if you will. We pray God would bless those that have and keep us in prayer as we need it, as well as others. So we pray for you as you pray for us. May God richly bless you and keep you. Until next time, God bless. Amen and amen.
Take time out for Jesus. He took time for you.
Take a little time in the morning, and you'll feel better all day. Take a little time for Jesus to get down on your knees and pray. He took the time to die on the cross, so all of our souls wouldn't be lost. If you find yourself slipping, then the thing to do is take time out for Jesus. He took time for you. Sometime you may be in a hurry. You have so many things to do, but don't forget about Jesus. Remember, He didn't forget about you. He took the time to die on the cross, so all of our souls wouldn't be lost. If you find yourself slipping, then the thing to do is take time out for Jesus. He took time for you. Take time out for Jesus. He took time for you.
We would like to thank you for joining us today on Take Time for Jesus. Email the show at ecompton31@yahoo.com. If you'd like to check out past shows of Take Time for Jesus, go to our website, taketimeforjesus.com. We look forward to joining you again on our next show as we Take Time for Jesus.